Welcome to The Rink, your weekly source for hockey talk without the entitlement. I'm James Tapeleg Gralian. This week, it's a joint podcast between myself and the Avs Hockey Podcast. Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast joins me to talk about the Avalanche, of course, and a whole lot more. Stick around. It's a good time on The Rink. So if you're listening to this on the Rink podcast, you'll understand what I mean in a second. You're used to hearing my voice. I'm James Tapeleg Gralian, of course. But this is kind of a joint podcast, a little dueling podcast, I guess you'd say.
I wouldn't call it a duel.
It's a very amicable duel.
There you go.
Jay Veen of the Avs Hockey Podcast. We're kind of splitting up this podcast here, and you can find Jay's podcast, the Avs Hockey Podcast. You want to just make
say
the announcement
it. Go
now?
Ahead. You've done most of the work. You say it.
You're actually moving your site from Podomatic to a new site, and the web address is
AvsHockeyPodcast.com.
There you go.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Is that nice?
The Podomatic on there. I love it.
Yeah, it's basically the same content.
Absolutely.
Same stuff. You're going to finally have a iTunes feed that works.
Yes.
Comments and other capabilities here and there.
A little blogging here and there when
absolutely
when appropriate. Yeah,
which is great. You finally get a move and kind of take it under your own banner for good.
But literally, some of the pictures James took for the site, they look awesome. I think you'll like I think all the listeners out there will love the new look and the new feel, and it's about time. So go check it out.
Yeah, but it's not about us. It's
no,
about the Avalanche, because we're both big Avalanche fans. You and I last talked. God, it's been I think it was episode 41 that you were onto the Rink, so that's been
same 41 good, for me as well.
Yeah, three so weeks was, or something like that, or
it was
or 3 months. I mean,
it was. Yeah. Was it after or before Joe Sakic night? I can't remember.
It was before even the season started, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was covering all that stuff. So a lot has happened, obviously.
Yeah. The Avs started out with a really good, an amazing October.
Yeah.
Just that hot start that nobody expected. Everybody picked the team to be last place in the conference, if not the league. And there's been a couple of really, really nice surprises along the way.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch. I think the unexpected part has been even better.
Yeah.
You know, and you really can't win this season. You really can't make the playoffs early in the year, but a good start never hurts you. And it's just good to see, not only see your team play well, but you're able to prove some people wrong. And that never hurts you in whatever you're doing, really.
Well, there are several teams around the league that we're talking about, you know, fans are talking about, and teams themselves are talking about, we need a strong start. We want this big start to, you know, and Vancouver was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Vancouver didn't get it. And look at where they are now, sitting at, you know, 11th place out of the playoffs right now. You know, that a very poor start has really hurt the Detroit Red Wings.
Yep.
We were looking at basically both those at the very bottom of the conference.
Yeah. Kind of strange, kind of a new reality for those two teams. But especially as bad as everybody thought this team was going to be, they've kind of battled through all that adversity and battled through some injuries and are not exactly sitting pretty, but it's better than everybody thought. And that's never a bad thing.
Well, it's funny. Like with the Vancouver Canucks, a huge rival of the Avalanche, of course, everybody was wondering where the scoring was coming from, and then one of the two Sedin bots gets hurt, and the other one kind of is having a bit of a goal scoring breakout without his brother. That's kind of wacky.
The two-headed Sedin monster. Yeah.
Yeah.
They obviously work really well together. It's almost like they've been playing together for their entire life.
Can you imagine? Twins and all.
That's right. You can't really figure them out, but
there was they told one time where one of them was tossed out of the face-off circle, and he's just basically skated right back around his brother and back.
What are you going to do?
Face off.
That's right. We don't have time to check jersey numbers and so forth. Yeah, but it's amazing what one injury will do to a team, and some teams are able to fight through that, and some teams aren't. I mean, I saw a graphic last night during the Tampa Bay game. David Jones out and Milan Hayduk out. That's 25% of the scoring out at one time, and that's tough to work through.
That is.
And, you know, there's certain teams that can work through that and have the depth, and mm-hmm. there's certain teams that just can't do it, and you can't blame them either way, you know.
Well, one of the surprises with the Avalanche, of course, is the breakouts of some of these younger guys, and the big complaint about the Avs was that there wasn't enough depth, that, you know, losing players like Sakic, which we'll, you know, I want to talk to you about sure. being at Joe Sakic night.
Absolutely.
You know, losing some players like Ryan Smith, who, you know, he's been injured before and out before, and it kind of showed a little bit.
Injured again now.
Yes. you know, that people were saying, well, there's not going to be enough depth because, you know, you've got all these young guys. They're not going to be ready to go. And then, you know, what are we looking at? Two really exciting players in Matt Duchene and O'Reilly, and they're yep. sitting there. They're on the team. They're in it.
And they're playing well. It's not yeah. like they're there because you know, it's they want to put people in the seats necessarily, but they're there because they deserve it. And by mm-hmm. by the way they've played, that's obvious. And the Avalanche, yeah. Especially with O'Reilly, it's second round draft pick. You know, those come along every once in a while. Paul yeah. Stastny was one, and you know he's you know your future captain and kind of the franchise player. And it's great to see that happen. Those unexpected things, like the team, like the players they've had up. I think Duchene we knew was going to stay up all the time, but mm-hmm. O'Reilly's been a great surprise. And David Jones, until he just went down recently, a nice surprise too. And,
oh, yeah.
He's played well when he's stayed healthy, but he's just one of those guys that can't stay healthy for whatever reason. Call it unlucky, whatever. I mean, some guys are just more unlucky than
What's
others.
What's he out with right now?
He tore his ACL. He's out, he's out for the season.
It. Yeah.
So it's just, kind of fluky, but you know, in my days, especially playing baseball, you end up, seeing those guys, the first game back from one injury, they injure themselves again. And that's kind of what's happened with him and some other guys.
Yeah. Well, you look at, David Jones, he's got 10 goals, yeah. six assists, 16 points, until last night was at 4 goals and 8 assists for Matt Duchene. And then this, recent Tampa Bay game, 2 goals on the night, Two out of three because Volsky got the empty netter. That's eventually.
Right. That's right. It took a little while. yeah, Duchene's just both ends of the ice. He can skate. He's smart. Mm-hmm. Class kid. I don't know. It's just pretty amazing to see how well he's done. Peter McNagg talked about it last night a little bit about how he's never struggled like this. It's a brand new reality for him, and he's dealing with it pretty well. He's an 18-year-old kid. He's got, you know, less than 30 games under his belt in the NHL. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But he's really shown what he's made of, and honestly, he's only going to get better as long as he can stay healthy, and hopefully that's not an issue in the future.
Yeah. I'm sometimes concerned with Duchene for two reasons. One being that he hasn't gotten the minor league experience and that kind of development time that a lot of players get. And, you know, you look at, like, okay, obviously Sidney Crosby was going to bypass that level. But you also look at players like Stamkos in Tampa. And while, you know, last night he was certainly shown the bench in a nice Rob Blake-esque
unwillingly, but that was awesome.
He really struggled in his first season, sure. and that development time probably would have helped him. Alexander Ovechkin got a little bit more time because of the lockout. Mm-hmm. You look at the lockout season, you look at who was who came out of that really strong, and of course Carolina came out of that very strong, but they had a lot of younger guys who got that extra development year yeah. in the AHL without the call-ups. I look at that, and then I sometimes look at Duchene's play and see him try and skate through the defense yeah. and not try and
stuff
make
that used to work
exactly and yeah. in juniors. And I wonder if I mean, with him, if he's just not used to having, you know, teammates that he can pass to, but also if he, you know, if that extra year of development time maybe would have been a better idea, you know, send sure. him down to Lake Erie for, you know, for 1 year, you know, and then yeah. on the flip side, of course, is O'Reilly, who, you right. know, obviously is showing that he probably may not need it, but you
exactly.
know, do you ever get that impression that maybe that development time would help him break out of some of those bad habits?
Or? I don't know if it's a bad habit. He's going to learn what works well, and he's going to make those small adjustments. I think he's that kind of a player. He's very intelligent, and he knows the game on both ends of the ice. And that's what I like. I like it, that all around effort. He's not mm-hmm. just an offensive guy that scores goals and that's about it. I mean, you can see him back check. You can see him. I mean, he's great with his stick.
And he's a good forechecker.
He's a great forechecker yeah. too. And it's good to see that. He's not big enough to play that physical game. And I think he knows that. He knows his limitations as far as that, but I think this is where the business side of the NHL comes out, especially with the Avalanche. I don't think the fans would have accepted him playing down there. I think the Avalanche knew they would have had to have him come up in order to put anybody in the seats. So I think it would have been a tough explanation for the organization to try and explain to the fans that he'd grow up and he needs to have some development when everybody was so excited about him.
Right.
It's good to see everything work out, and it's just been fun to have some excitement about the draft. That's a little different too, because we haven't had that for so long as far as the organization goes. I just don't think the organization could have sold that to the fans.
Are they selling it to them now? Look at the attendance numbers. Now I'm looking at ESPN's NHL attendance numbers, which, you know, they aren't the best.
They are what they are.
But, you know, when you're looking at being third from last in league, averaging 13,000 a game, and that's including, of course, the obvious sellout of Joe Sakic night, right, with the very first game, sitting actually in average attendance one below Nashville.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, and that's true. And there's not near, for those of us that go to the games, there's not near 13,000 tickets, and they can skew those numbers kind of however they want. I get, you know, every season ticket that they sold is automatically going to be counted, but
right,
you know, there's probably 8,000-9,000 people. It's a very strange reality downtown. When you go down to the game, it doesn't look like a hockey game is going on.
Mm-hmm.
The lots that used to be full, whether it was for kids that were going to school down there or the game, are not full anymore, and it's very different. So I see your point, and maybe that wouldn't have made a difference or not, but you know, I don't know.
For hardcore fans like us, I mean, we'll, I wanted to see him there, but exactly. You know, I only just from like those games I've been able to see, and I haven't been able to see every game. Last night I was listening to the Tampa Bay Lightning game on XM radio, which I got the Tampa Bay feed, and we'll talk about that in a minute. but you know, it's not looking great. I would have liked to have seen, you know, Duchesne up. I always thought, yeah, he's definitely going to be on the team. He's definitely going to be on the team. But then after watching a little bit, it's kind of like, I wonder, you know, where that place really, like where that bar should have been set.
Yeah.
You know, if this was a team that had, maybe a few more veteran players, would he still be with the, you know, would he still be up? Would they give him a year?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Well, I think time will tell as far as that goes and really how he develops. It seems like he's handling it pretty well. I know he's frustrated. You see him squeeze a stick pretty hard sometimes. And the other night he kind of missed an open net and you could see him almost break a stick over his knee. You know, he's frustrated. I think it's a new reality for him, but I think he would have struggled, not necessarily on this level, but if he played in Lake Erie, it would have been kind of a similar, you know, assimilation to what's kind of going on in professional hockey. So time will tell as far as, you know, how well he does. Stamkos had the rough year last year and he's doing great this year. So if he does nothing but get bigger and stronger and better, I think all of us fans will be happy. And hopefully we won't have to worry about, you know, why didn't we do this or that in the past.
Now with Stamkos, they benched him basically for several games throughout the season, and they like put him in the press box, let him watch the game, take notes, blah blah blah. I wonder what the reaction would be if they did that with Duchesne at this point.
I wonder. I don't know what the difference is between those two. Maybe it's because the guy's playing for my team, but I think people would go absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But they didn't with Stamkos. But they've been struggling for a while too. Well, that would be interesting to see how people react to that. And
yeah. I mean, it's going to happen one day. I mean, you remember how it was when they started benching Volsky, you know, and kind of giving that message to be sent.
Yeah.
They freaked a little bit, but then they kind of got used to it. I mean, they got over it pretty quick, especially when he came back and was a little bit stronger, you know, kind of got the message.
The thing about Duchesne is that you notice he's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, certain games, you won't notice a certain guy's playing, whether it's ice time or whether he's just not around the puck or being real effective.
Right.
You know when Duchesne's out there, whether it's the speed and he may not have the moves or kind of learning everybody and kind of working his way through the system, but he's noticeable, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think the organization
likes
that. I think
he's got the moves.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is that he's not used to being covered like this. Yeah. At least this is how I kind of see it. It's like you see him try and split the defense, and with a junior team, you know, when the defense may not be nearly as good as, you know, even the third line defense of a crappy team. You know, it's I mean, even the Minnesota Wild have good defensemen on the third line and better defensemen than, you know.
Or else they'd be somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think they would be.
Yeah. But, you know, but I mean, the speed of the game, the size of the players are the two biggest things, I think. You know, the speed of the game itself, the speed of the players, and then the size of everybody. He's got to get used to. And the thing that kind of helps me work through, it's not necessarily that frustration, but I definitely know what you're saying, is he's still being effective. You still notice he's out there, and he's only going to get bigger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be fun to watch his development. And I think that's what the Avalanche have been trying to sell, and they've done a fairly good job with that. And you know, I'm excited to see his future, and I think a lot of other Avalanche fans are too.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely that next great hope, I guess, you know. And
they don't come along that often. And
but okay, let's talk about frustration a little bit, because we go into basically the preseason, we go into the beginning of the season, and I think everybody pretty much understood, okay, the Avs are going to suck. It's mm-hmm. going to be bad. This year is going to be really bad. It's rebuilding, even if the team doesn't want to say it, because you know you can't sell
right.
you can't sell tickets without saying no. rebuilding. And then they blast off. They had this incredible run at the beginning. I kind of liken it to a few years ago, that end of season run that mm-hmm. Where they almost squeaked into the playoffs the first time.
They when Peter the Budaj was that's the best he's ever looked, and hasn't really looked that good since.
Yeah. No, but
we'll talk about that later.
Oh yeah, we're definitely going to talk about Peter Budaj. Yep. So you've got you have that blast out of the beginning, and then they really started to cool off, and then they started losing by one goal. They started giving up the leads that they had. Yep. They started playing two periods instead of three whole periods. And at the beginning of the season, they were definitely a three-period team. They were acting like a three-period team. And even when they were kind of running around, you saw that the effort was there. Yeah. How are you feeling frustrated with the team right now in light of that?
I think everybody gets frustrated by watching third periods like that and mm-hmm. the team consistently saying during their interviews, oh, we only played 40 minutes tonight. You can only say that so often. Mm-hmm. I've heard one comment, I can't remember exactly where, but between O'Reilly and between Duchesne, they're going to hit a wall as well. This is playing at this level each, you know, a lot of nights, especially with a compressed schedule, with the Olympic schedule, mm-hmm. they're going to hit a wall eventually. And I think O'Reilly's kind of moving that direction. But with the pressure on him and with everything going on around him, it's going to happen. But the other thing about the team and how well they started, there was only one way to go, and that was down. Right now, it feels like they're playing really, really bad. They're fourth in the conference, you know, and they're doing okay.
Yeah.
So it kind of distorts your view on that thing. You know, when the team's playing that well, they're really, you know, I've heard they're not as good as everybody thinks they are and as everybody says they are. And when they're playing really, really bad, they're really not as bad as they are either. There's always exceptions to that rule, but I just kind of try to go by that and go game by game. But it's frustrating to watch them not necessarily give away games, but just not have that full effort. And that's where I don't know. That's where you're hoping the young guys can step up and use that energy, and they can't necessarily lead, but they can lead by example a little bit. And you know, it has been a little bit frustrating, but you got to keep in mind kind of what they're going through, and anything you know different than what they were doing earlier in the season seems like a huge failure when it's actually really not that bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, their last 10 games, 3-4-3, which is not great. But last night against Tampa, they pulled out a shutout. You got to watch the game. I like I said, I got to listen to it on the radio and listen to Phil Esposito get a little angry. It's oh man, he was ready to eat ref meat. I mean, he was not happy at all.
And that was all the Stamkos hit that he was upset about?
That was mostly the Stamkos. Actually, it was the too many men call that came right after. And I believe he said, go back to the minor leagues.
Wow. So he's not biased
refs.
At all, is what you're saying.
No. Former GM.
That's right.
Partial owner. Yeah, I can't imagine he would be upset as a color guy with something like that. I mean, Phil Esposito, of course, is known for keeping, holding back how he feels and all that.
Of course. Yeah. Nobody's noticed any of that. Last night was great. I mean, it was Andy played his tail off. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been doing that as much lately, but I think we all can appreciate a super solid number one quite yet. He still has some work to do to really prove that. He's been a little off his game lately, but he hasn't gotten much help either. I'm a little worried about him getting overworked now.
Yeah.
And he's starting to show, and not necessarily that he's tired, but I mean, that grind every game and having a backup goaltender that's struggling like Budaj is when you kind of go 50-50 on the whole thing, they're going to go with Anderson all the way. The Avs kind of tried to give the game away last night again. I mean, the third period wasn't as solid as you'd think by the final score. But about the first half of the period, they spent down in the Lightning spent down in the Avalanche zone, and that's tough to kind of get used to. So, and you don't want to depend on your goaltender to bail you out every night when it comes to that, because it won't happen most of the time.
No.
So they have some work to do. Sacco's definitely someone who's not afraid to show that and to let the press know what they're working on, and he seems like the guy that's going to hold people accountable and make sure that doesn't happen, at least for an extended amount of time.
Yeah, well, look at the shots on goal from last night's game. It was Tampa Bay had 16 shots on goal in the final period, and they only had 9 and 8 in the first two. And, you know, so obviously they were pouring it on. And, you know, you're looking at Vinny LeCavier, you're looking at Martin St. Louis, and those guys, even though, you know, even though it's still Tampa Bay Lightning, even though they were awful, they've been awful last season. They were, they haven't been good this season. Those are two guys that you don't sneeze at.
Got some good talent. Stamkos is becoming that other guy as well. Mm-hmm. Got some good chemistry. And Victor Hedman, the defenseman who was drafted ahead of Duchesne, very tough, very big. And he's, someone was hacking on the Lightning goaltender last night, and he jumped all over that guy. So
Nedimaki,
I can't remember exactly who it was for the Avalanche, but they won't be doing that again. And you can always appreciate that from a defenseman, but an 18-year-old that's just ready to do something like that. So, you know, they're up and coming, but it's the mid-level guys. It's the, you know, for the Avalanche, it's the David Joneses of the world and the you know, Ben Gitte when he was around. Yeah. If they're playing well, your team's playing well. Everybody has stars. It's just a matter of whether those mid-level guys can stay healthy and be effective.
Yeah, I think it was Matt Hendricks. Was that it?
I think so.
Went away for a slashing.
Yeah, it was something. It was something like that. And so it's good to see the energy from the Avalanche. But that's what defensemen are supposed to do. And it's good to see that a rookie in the league isn't afraid to jump on a guy and try and tear his face off.
last night's game also isn't the best example. You know, you're talking about there was a march to the penalty box. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 penalties in the last period, six penalties, and then a misconduct in the second period.
Obviously killed all those, and it was good. It was good to see they had a few breaks. But the third period, I think the scoring, I can't remember exactly how many straight goals the Avalanche had given up to their opponents. It was a lot until Volsky scored the empty netter. Mm-hmm. When you're outscored that big in the third period.
Outshot
and outscored, too. It was like 16 or 24 is the numbers that stick in my head. But it's a ton of goals given up where the Avalanche hadn't scored any.
Wow.
So I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but it's significant. And you don't want to make that a trend because it's going to lead, obviously, the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the frustrating things for me, you know, last season was, you know, watching actually the last couple of seasons even has been the Avs just completely putting on the brakes for one of the three periods. And, you know, it was almost like roll the dice flip a coin. Is it going to be the second period or third period? Yeah. And they'd come out strong in the first, fall apart, you know, and you have to give credit sometimes to other teams too.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
But not all the time.
No.
For sure.
It's I think that one of the great things that we saw at the beginning of the season was Joe Sacco able to keep that energy up and able to keep kind of that I don't want to say that whip cracked, but that, you know, hey, this is a three-period game and you guys have to play that way, and they did. And right now that doesn't seem to be happening as much.
They just have a couple of key guys, you know, Chris Stewart. When Chris Stewart plays well, the Avalanche play well. And if you can just keep your stars doing what stars do, and then you've got guys that kind of play those roles and everything like that. When you can get guys like a Chris Stewart, David Jones before he got hurt and things like that, when he can get those guys going, and he obviously knows them from Lake Erie as well.
Yeah.
That's a big advantage, I think to the Avalanche. And it's been interesting to watch. Chris Stewart, either he's kind of dynamic lately. He's really good or just not that good. Volsky's kind of the same way lately as well. If you can get them to just be more consistent and bring a consistent effort, you'll see some consistency, I think, in the record and things that they can do. You know, game in, game out.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and surprising, you know, like players like, I mean, he's not my favorite guy, Darcy Tucker, has 4 goals on the season, and he's cooled off. But at the beginning of the season, I mean, didn't he get the first goal of the season?
He did, and he had, I think, 3 in the first 4 games or something like that. And he's not necessarily made me a fan, but he and Scott Hannon are guys that I rode last year. I mean, you almost feel like you have to blame somebody when the season's not going that well.
Oh, I've never liked Scott Hannon and the team. I mean, at first it was that kind of that promise, but man, it just seemed like every time the puck got on a stick, he had no idea what to do with it.
And he's been better. He's been a little more solid this year, and Tucker as well. They're better with those two guys in the lineup right now than they had been all last year. And that's, you know, I'm not someone who's going to consistently hate on a guy when he doesn't deserve it. And the Avalanche are better when Darcy Tucker's in the lineup. And he's been hurt a little bit, and kind of that cheap shot that he took earlier in the year. And I know he'd be probably doing a little bit more if he knew, you know, I think the doctors have told him to kind of stay away from the headshots. I think he'd be doing a little bit more if he could. And I think he's kind of keeping that in mind. But I'll give them credit where it's due, because they definitely deserve it. And they're a big reason why the Avalanche have started pretty well.
Yeah. Now, Hannon, if there's one thing I want to ask Hannon to do, it's to stop taking shots. It's just he winds up. I think it was the Sharks game, the first game of the year. He wound up for a shot. Nabokov was in goal. He was at the blue line. He wound up for a slap shot, and Nabokov just stood up. And because he knew it wasn't even going to go near the net, and it was pretty much a shot on corner.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's slap shots. I mean, it's almost like you just took a box fan, and turned it on high and pointed it at the puck. It's horrible. Why does he shoot?
He's better near the net. And you know the one thing that I've noticed this year,
he's a defenseman. He shouldn't be near the net.
That's true. But you know what I'm liking from Joe Sacco is he sends the defenseman towards the net.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something we're not used to seeing with the Granados of the world and the Quinnvilles of the world.
Right.
Is that he gives them the green light to jump in the play if they would like to.
Right.
Kyle Komiski, we're missing him lately, he can flat skate. He has the green light to jump in whenever he wants. I've seen Foot do it. I've seen Hannon do it. And Lyles obviously do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's given them the green light to be able to do that, and I think the forwards have to be aware of that and go back and cover. But
I think that's something that you're seeing a lot. Yeah, I remember seeing Matt Duchene was one and who just looked back, saw that one of his defensemen was down low, looked back, saw where there wasn't coverage, and skated back.
Yeah, and he's given the guys the freedom to be able to do that on the blue line, and I think that's a big part. I mean, think about the Avalanche in the olden days as far as the Ozolinches and the Krups when they would join the play, when they would make those backdoor cuts. He's got them doing that, and that's kind of fun to watch, where you're kind of keeping your eyes open for everything, when in the past that definitely hasn't been the case. So
yeah.
The one thing I would ask Scott Hannon to stop doing is he's always digging in his nose during the game. I don't know. It was something I noticed last night. Anderson came over to the bench. I've noticed in seasons past as well. Anderson came over to the bench, and they were fixing his mask or something like that. And Hannon's kind of sitting there, and he's got kind of this dazed look on his face. And he starts digging in his nose on the bench.
He's got a finger up there?
Yeah. he tries to kind of be slick about it, but it's just one of those things that I noticed, that maybe a lot of other people won't, but he's always doing it. It's just one of those quirks that I keep. Maybe he does it when he's nervous or really focused or whatever, but nothing against the guy, but keep an eye on that and then see if you can spot how many times he does that during the game. Little stuff I noticed.
It's the one thing you can always tell when he's out there, because he's got a certain stance that never changes, and then he's got that no look pass that he just kind of the head up, and then he just kind of does the no look pass and then looks where it went.
Yeah. And the mullet's gone so it's kind of harder to spot him now too.
He was
flapping in the wind.
Okay, so just looking at the defense right now, I mean, Soleil is still out. He's still got he's got back issues, and
I figure if he's that injured, they would do surgery on it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on with him. They've said he's day to day for a long time now, and they've said he might come back anytime now, and he's still not back. So I don't know whether they're going to make a move with him or what, but it was just really interesting to kind of see that whole thing play out. I know people, when he first got here, I was excited about it. He had kind of a rough year last year, but it'd be nice to see him come back and see what he can do within the system and see if, he's a guy you can throw out there on the power play and he'll launch some stuff from the point. Mm-hmm. It's better than Volsky.
He was certainly an upgrade over Skrastens, which was what the trade was.
Exactly.
And, hard to complain about that at all. And
I don't know what's going on with Soleil. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, looking at the defense right now, what would you do? Is there room for him right now? Quincy's doing great.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with Wilson right now. You've got Clark out there. He's doing fine. Lyles, everybody bashes on Lyles at some point because, and he's always trade bait, but, whatever. Foot and Hannon. So where's the room?
He's got the kind of contract where it's not that easy to move him either.
Right.
Lyles comes up a lot. Clark comes up and Soleil comes up a lot. And they make so much money and they just don't do quite enough to where people can really validate going right after them. And that's kind of I think it's the end of the Francois Jaguerre era as far as overpaying these guys, whether it's Darcy Tucker, Hannon, mm-hmm. Clark, guys that have just not played up to their contracts are
right.
A lot tougher to move in any deal.
Right. And, he's making three. It was NHLnumbers.com says 3.275 mil right now.
And that's a guy who hasn't played in a game yet this season, and his back is still bothering him. So I'm wondering, do you throw him on the IR and have surgery, or kind of what's the deal with that, and whether they're playing with cap space not playing him or what? But there's always more of the story that we'll never find out. But it's been an interesting kind of roller coaster, kind of soap opera type thing with him.
No, absolutely. I he's. it's they're tradable numbers if you were playing to those, if you were playing and if they were playing to those numbers. Yeah. But you know, I mean, he was kind of that you know, that that hope of kind of plugging some holes that the Avs had when they first got him on defense.
Yeah.
And you know, of course, then there was that first round of the playoffs that went really well, and then the second round of the playoffs that went horribly, horribly wrong.
Why you gotta bring up old stuff?
That was so ugly.
Wasn't it ugly? I was in Atlanta for that. I actually got to hang out with Greg from the Post Pessimist, who's a he's a good friend, and he's a he's an Avs fan, and we just watched all that and just
we were
just shaking our heads.
I think I was looking at headlines or something. I was trying to figure out when the Avalanche last scored a hat trick, and I believe it was a Hayduk even before last year. But when I searched hat trick, it was Johan Franzen scores the second hat trick of the series against the Avalanche. He was a beast during that series.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. I'm going to cry.
I'm sorry. I don't want to. Okay. Well, you don't want to cry. Well, you want to talk about Budai or you want to wait? Do you want to cry?
That's cry or anger no, with him right now. Or...
Well, it's a goal. I know it's a very frustrating situation right now.
I've described it as he's lost it. Whatever it is, it just doesn't seem to be there anymore. Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, going back, of course, when Jose Theodor was being Jose Theodor and being a problem, and Budai stepped up his game. This was a few years ago. It was the first time that the Avs had missed the playoffs, but it certainly wasn't Budai's fault.
No.
And after that, you know, and basically Budai, the number one job was his to lose. And everybody was way behind him. I remember going to games and the three, you know, the first, you know, whenever they show the players in the Jumbotron at the beginning, you know, Joe Sakic and this guy and that guy. The Joe Sakic got the biggest cheer of anybody. Ian LaPerriere got the second, and Budai got the third, and those were close. Those were always swapping back and forth. Who was, you know, and people loved Budai. He was saving the team at the time, and then. And then he goes all Philip Zove, David Abisher on us.
Yeah.
And where the heck did he go?
And speaking of those guys, it's like after they left the Avalanche and we all thought they'd do okay. No. Abisher plays a year in Montreal.
Yep.
And then he signed, was it Phoenix for
Phoenix.
10 and then, minutes?
Yeah, he
and
was
then he's
there,
out of the league.
Yep.
Zove, same thing.
And
I don't know.
Of course, he's questionable.
You,
Abisher's, I'm sure, questionable for the Swiss Olympic team at this point. He was in lock before. It was him and Gerber.
It's just one of those things that just kind of comes and goes, and it is gone with Peter Budai, and I don't know what it is. People are trying to figure out who to blame, whether it's the defense on the rebounds and whether it's his technique or whatever it is. I don't think fans should have to worry about that. You need somebody who can back up your number one and be reliable when he comes in, so you don't have to wear your number one out.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers right now.
Numbers.
I mean, you know, Anderson is 14-7-5. Right now, and he with a 9.21 save percentage, goals against average of 2.57.
Right.
And you know, he's seen some rubber. He has definitely seen a lot of shots.
Absolutely.
But and he's had a couple of games where he's fallen apart. Budai's only played 3 games. He's 1-1. He's got an 8.55 goals against average.
Well, and the loss he didn't get was the loss that he gave up 4 goals in the third on 8 shots, and so.
Oh, that's right. That was because Anderson had already given up.
That was
four.
Against the Canucks.
Yep.
You know, last week
that
before
that was the 8-2. So was, Anderson got credited with the loss, even though he didn't finish the game.
Right.
4.3 goals against average. That means he's let in 10 goals in basically 3 games.
Yeah, and it's not the kind of league where you know, oh, just play him against the bad teams. There really aren't any bad teams.
No.
I think you know if there was, you know, I don't know, but I hear that a lot. Play him against the bad teams. There's no nights off in the NHL.
Well, there's no nights off in the NHL, and there's no nights off for Craig Anderson right now. Didn't he just did back-to-backs, back-to-back games, home and home.
Yeah.
It was that Minnesota Wild series, and he played in both. He plays in Minnesota on one night in the in the afternoon. The next night, he's playing here in do that?
Then the Avs played last night in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They play tomorrow night in Florida against the Panthers. And then they play Thursday night against the Penguins in Pittsburgh.
And who do you start? Tomorrow night?
3 games in 4 nights. I haven't heard anything whether Budai will start, but those are the kind of numbers where you just kind of look at it and you flip a coin and you say, I still can't play him, as if you're Sacco or whatever. And
I think the best you can do is if you're going to do that, you know, play him against the bad teams is Florida. I mean, that's the only one. But
that's also Craig Anderson going back to his old team. And you know.
Yeah.
So him playing last night, Anderson playing last night, that says a lot about kind of what's going to go on. He can't play Budai back to it's.
I think you make a game time decision and see if it's going to be Clemenson in net. Well, it's got to be, I guess. Last night, Thomas Volkoon
got his head chopped off
by his own teammate.
If you guys haven't seen that, go to YouTube. It's unbelievable.
I'll definitely put the video up on my site, www.ringpodcast.com. Yeah, his own teammate gets frustrated at a goal that gets let in off a rebound, slashes his own post, and winds up smacking his own goaltender in the head in the mask and cutting his ear.
I guess Volkoon traveled with the team back home or whatever. That was in Atlanta they were playing. Mm-hmm. But wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't even know where to start with that one. But back to Buda, I don't know. He's running out of time.
He's got to be. Again, does he have a tradable number and salary right now? And
he's
1.25.
Who wants him though? You know, he's that Abishur the Sauvé guy that
right.
If he can't back up an NHL team like the Avalanche, who are playing decently, but it's not like they're an elite team in the league. Mm-hmm. If he can't back up on this team, who can he back up for? And who needs him? And right. Who wants him? He's one of those guys that you know, if he doesn't pick it up here soon, I just don't see him even sticking around in the league for much longer.
Well, you know what the next question, of course, is if you get rid of Budai, who comes in? Is Tyler Wyman ready? You know, and
you never know until they play.
I guess not. And there's one of the things I've always been wondering. I mean, Tyler Wyman has played in the last two seasons previous to this one in Lake Erie. And, of course, that was under Joe Sacco. So is there a reason that he's not here? Does Joe Sacco know something? Or is it just a matter of, you know, it's not time? Goaltenders obviously always need a little bit more development. But Tyler Wyman playing down in the Colorado Eagles, which admittedly is another level down from the AHL, goaltender of the year, rookie of the year, and won the league trophy, the league championship that year. And this year, I mean, he's 5-8-1 right now, and that's not very good. But he's a 2.41 2.41 goals against average. His save percentage is 912.
Yeah,
which means he's seeing a lot of rubber. He's not getting goal support.
Well, and based on the injuries that the Avalanche have had, you know, mm-hmm. he's got a lot of guys coming up that would normally be down there taking good care of him, either on the offensive end or the defensive end. I don't know when it's time for him. His name always comes up. And he came up when Peter Budaj had H1N1 mm-hmm. and never got a chance to play.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't see that very often.
Yeah, and actually that happened the previous season. It was when Jose Tador was injured and actually started out the season in – not the previous season, season before, I guess.
Sure.
No, it wasn't last season?
No, it was the season before.
Season before. Yeah. Jose Tador with the he had an injury. He started out the season in Lake Erie, and Wyman was up and never saw. I think he saw like half a game, and he stopped all 10 shots they saw.
That's right. He came in relief, I think, in one game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's getting closer to Tyler Wyman time. I think everybody can agree to that, and it's kind of sad because nobody really roots against Peter Budaj. I know from what everybody says, he's just this outstanding guy and he always takes responsibility and he never feels, you know, he's the one that feels the worst about the losses and he'll kind of say what needs to be said about that. Yeah. And then, you know, when he wins, he's always deflecting credit like a hockey player does. It's just kind of sad to watch him, especially from that run you were talking about before where they almost made the playoffs and just, you know, that was fun to watch. And he mm-hmm. was kind of in the zone that whole time. And it's just left him for one reason or another. And it's just one of those pro sports things that, and you know, as quickly as it comes, it quickly can go away. And then
is it between his ears or is it,
it's a combination of a lot of stuff.
So here we are, we're looking at Anderson and he's basically TSN, their website says that he's on pace to play 76 games.
No, those are Brodeur numbers right there.
He's not, I don't know if he's a Brodeur guy. Last season he played 31 games. And mind you, he was backing up a big number goalie like Volkoon. I mean, that's a lot of money right there. Who's going to play, obviously, is your big dollar guy. But, I mean, 31 games, he's, you know, and he's already played 26 this season. Yeah.
The Avalanche picked him up to be the number one. Mm-hmm. They obviously had a lot of confidence in Anderson. And right now, I think, you know, a lot of people are naming that the number one acquisition of the offseason. I think it's still a little early. Mm-hmm. We'll see, you know, give him about 30 or 40 more games. But, number one does not play 76 games. you know, I think the Devils got really lucky last year.
First time number one?
Yeah. When, you know, Clemenson played a ton of games last year. And I think they got lucky, but they also have an outstanding team in front of them all the time.
And I'm fairly certain I admitted to you, and I know I've said on this podcast, that originally I wanted them to go after Clemenson.
Yes.
And when they got Anderson, I was like, what? And, you know, obviously that turned out to be.
There you go. You know, see, we're all about taking responsibility for our words, and we'll admit it when we're. Well, not necessarily wrong, but we call it wrong. But,
and what's Clemenson doing? Oh, horrible.
He comes in when the goalie in front of him gets smacked in the face by his own guy.
And he was bitching about the defense, too.
These
guys are not doing it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's always good. The fans will buy that for sure. Yeah.
That's always a good thing to do to your team. My defensemen are letting me down and saying that in the media. Think they're going to let you down now
maybe,
in Florida where losses is the norm?
Maybe Keith Ballard thought that was Clemenson in that instead of Oku. He just switched glove hands and thought he'd give him a shot.
Give him a hack. That's you're pissing me off, buddy. Well,
take that.
A rebound goal. Maybe he did think it was.
Take that, and there's some for your buddy Clemenson too, Vokun.
Yeah, here's the sad part. He's still got better numbers than Budaj right now with an 888 percentage and a 369 goals against average.
I'm going to cry again, I think.
Stop. Don't cry. There's no crying in hockey.
That's right.
Except for Joe Sagging-Knight.
Joe Sagging-Knight was awesome.
Let's talk about Joe Sagging-Knight a little bit. You were there. I didn't get to go. Yeah. I've only seen highlights of it. I actually have the DVD from Jason Cohn of Zamboni Rodeo.
Very cool.
Recorded it for me, and he brought me the DVD, so I got to watch it. But you were there. You actually got to go to Joe Sagging-Knight.
They did a great job. I guess the locker encased in plexiglass was a surprise to him.
Mm.
He started outside and kind of walked in and had season ticket holders kind of give him high fives. And then he walked in. There was no mics in the locker room, but Adam Foote was able to say something to him. And it was just a really classy thing. Pierre Lacroix had some great things to say about him. I mean, it's just so easy. But it seems like so long ago. It seems like he hasn't played in forever when he was actually, you know, an Avalanche player last season. But yeah. They did a really, really great job. They didn't overdo it. The rafters look awesome with the Sakic and the Wah and the Bork banners up there, and they did it how it should be done. And you know, surefire Hall of Famer, and us Avalanche fans miss him a lot. But we're so fortunate to watch a guy like that for so long, be so good for so many years, and. You know, the talk has died down a little bit, but, you know, Matt Duchene, people are saying, there's the next Joe Sakic. And first of all, there won't ever be another Joe Sakic. And second of all, you know, let the kid have about 10 solid years of Joe Sakic numbers, and then we'll talk about him being the next Joe Sakic. So it's not really fair to Duchene, but I was glad I was there. I've got the video up on my Facebook fan page for those of you that want to see that. And I tried to capture as much as I could, but also be a fan too, because Joe Sakic is the reason why I'm such a big fan, you know, after meeting him and just watching him play and everything. And
you got to meet him?
I got to meet him on the golf course, and it was just me and him on the driving range. And I was like, you know what, there's only one chance I'm going to get. So I went over and, you know, introduced myself, and I said, I'd really enjoy watching you play and everything. And he sticks his hand out to me and says, how you doing? I'm Joe Sakic. And between that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Between that and some of the stories I've heard about what he's done for Children's Hospital and all the great charities that he's done. I mean, it's just, he is overhyped in the sense that he is an athlete, but he really took advantage of all the things that he had available to him. And he's done really, really well. He's going to stay in Denver and I'm sure continue all the charity work and coach his kids in hockey. And it was good to see him leave on his own terms. You don't want to see him, you know, not go out there and, you know, go out there and just not play at the top of his game like we're all used to seeing. But, you know, it was a little sad in a way to be there, but it was kind of an honor to kind of pay our respect to such a great player. And the fans are chanting Super Joe all night. And from what I know, I think it's Terry Fry that says it in the post, is that he hates that name. I don't know what nickname he likes, but he doesn't like Super Joe.
Probably doesn't like any. It's probably Joey.
It's just, it's just Joe, you know, the organization, I think, will miss him, but I think the way he played and kind of the level that he set his play at is something to strive for in the future.
I'm sure the organization is going to try and fit him in somewhere at some job.
He had mentioned that he wants to. He said, I'm sure in a couple of years he'll kind of get that itch to where he wants to kind of get back in the game one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'd love to kind of follow Pierre Lacroix around and kind of see how the management side works. And
yeah.
I think people would obviously be excited about that. Steve Yzerman's done a great job with Team Canada and everything, mm-hmm. and I'm sure he does some stuff with the Red Wings as well. And
oh, probably a better choice than the Patrick Waugh. Could he be the GM? That sort of thing. I really wasn't sold on any of that.
That was just some attention right there. That's for sure. But
well, and you look at what the organization's doing now. They have Steve Konowalczyk behind the bench. They've got Adam Deadmarsh, in the mix. Which is
Sylvain Lefebvre as well. Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think they're making all the right choices for all the right reasons. And it is good to see those guys. Hopefully, it
all pays off. Did you get to go to rookie camp or training camp?
I didn't. My wife and I just had a baby not too long ago, but I'd love to go down there. I heard it wasn't too crowded. I'd like to kind of see that atmosphere and just be able to, it's free to the public and you can meet a lot of great people, a lot of the people you see on Twitter and Facebook and everything people like yourself and be able to just kind of chat and watch what they do. And
it was a lot of fun to see Steve Konowalczyk out there, just see him on skates and be like, that's him. That's the dude. Yeah.
Sacco as well. I mean, all those guys played really, really well in their playing mm-hmm. days when they had it going. And, it's fun to see those guys back, and they're showing them a lot. And I think, altitude is really pushing that when they can. And former mm-hmm. Avalanche, won a Stanley Cup here. And that, along with their alumni association, I was there against the Flyers for UE Krupp night. Uh-huh. And they're doing a good job. And it's good to see, it's been how many years? 15, 16 years now. And they're starting to build a little tradition, which is fun. They had the tradition with the winning and the cups, but now they have a tradition with the franchise that's been here for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Which you have to have as much, any team, I think, needs to have it. I mean, even look at the Blackhawks. They haven't won a cup in how long? And, but they've got their tradition that they're finally starting to bring back. And that's just as important as, the young players that are being really excited. They're really exciting for the fans to watch right now.
And a lot of good memories associated with, the Deadmarshes of the world and Lefebvre's, mm-hmm. The Stanley Cup winners. Everybody talks about that. UE Krupp obviously scores the big goal.
Oh, yeah.
I had tickets to game 5, and I was, I was never mad about UE Krupp's goal, But it's fun to have that tradition, and it's, remember those days type thing. And
I can actually point myself out in the picture book from that season when they had there's the overhead shot of the rally at the courthouse.
Sure.
And it's like, hey, there I am.
No
kidding. It's on the little media platform.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, camped that all night, right?
No, actually, I had to be there. I had a press pass, and I was working in radio, and we were broadcasting it live from it. And so on the media platform, they had a scaffolding built up, and it's like, oh, there I am.
Nice. I'll find that, and you can sign it for me someday. Oh, yeah. Will you sign here next to Joe Sakic, please?
That'd no problem. All the best, Peter Forsberg. That's all right.
You couldn't copy his autograph if he tried.
You haven't seen my I have the best I have a great hockey player chicken scratch signature. It's just
all right. And just that'll work.
Yeah, it's just one big line.
Do what you got to do. That'll work.
The other player, and you were mentioning UE Krupp night. That was against the Flyers, and Ian LaPerriere came back for a few games, even though it's amazing to me with him that he spent a lot more time with the Kings mm-hmm. than he did with the Avalanche. And yet, I totally associate him as an Av.
Isn't it weird like that?
Maybe it's just because he was such a favorite of people.
Well, he's one of those guys, though, is that you don't really notice what kind of player he is until you watch him game in, game out. Mm-hmm. And my dad had a good Kings friend when they signed Lappy and said, you are going to love Ian LaPerriere. And I knew the name, but I didn't know what he was about. And once we all found out what he was about, I think we all appreciated that. And he became a fan favorite for all the right reasons really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the team pushing him on anybody. It was just what he does, how he plays the game, and all the great things. He has a great time out there. And it was weird to see him in a Flyers jersey, but it was kind of good to see him in a way, too. They struggled. And some of the Flyer fans that I've talked to are not super happy about really how the team's playing. So they're not happy about how Lappy's playing either. But man, it was cool to see him. And for those of you that missed it the other night, he took a slap shot in the face, lost 7 teeth, took over 50 stitches like in his lip and his mouth, and then he's back out there the next period, which mm-hmm. that's Lappy, And I kind of think about how he would fit into this system and what would things be like if he was still here. And the Avalanche are missing that kind of tough guy. Not the David Krejci, the heavyweight guy, but just the guy that can provide that spark when they need it. Cody McLeod does a pretty good job of that, but nothing like an Ian LaPerriere do. Only Lappy can do what Lappy does.
Yeah.
He's definitely missed for a lot of different reasons, but the Avalanche seem to be faring fairly well without him.
Well, yeah, I think also about, I mean, like, I look at, first off, it wasn't like he was a great fighter. I mean, he always seemed to, you know, grab hold of a guy more than anything. Right. As soon as he had, you know, okay, just about any fighter in the NHL is going to have a good 6 inches on him. Mm-hmm. And he loved to get in close and just grip hold as best he could. But, you know, here's a guy that you stuck on a line with Tyler Arneson for way too long. I mean, what kind of treatment is that?
Dude, you got to bring up Arneson?
Oh, come on. He's the mouth breather, the Oklahoma mouth breather.
He scored 2 goals last night in Russia or whatever, so everybody's talking about what a great night he had.
Arneson's in Russia now? He's not with the Wolfpack anymore?
No. Later. He got waived early in the year.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. I mean, I knew he was sent down from the Rangers directly to the Wolfpack, but I didn't know he was now in Russia.
Spartak or something like that.
Oh, Arnie.
Poor Arnie.
I don't feel bad for him at all. You know, it was the two things that pissed me off about him was, one, there was always the promise. And we'll get back to the Flyers in a second. Okay. But it was always the promise of him. And two, I think he played with too big of a damn stick. He played with a Zdeno Chara-length stick, pretty much.
That was serious lumber right there.
And it was great and that's wonderful if you're a defenseman, if you need to get in there and poke it away from a guy. But when you're down low and you're within 2 feet of the boards, what the hell good is that going to do? And how are you ever going to dig it out of your feet? And he never could. Yeah. He could never do anything along the boards.
That's because it hit him in the chin or it'd stick up his nose or something like that. Seriously, you don't have to know hockey. You'd watch that and go, why
is
that guy
stick so big? Baseball. You don't choke up.
That's right. Why is that guy stick so big? Literally, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Lappy had that great first year, and then you put mm-hmm. him with those guys and. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I understand that you're going to stick him on that line when you've when you have the first two lines, you know, and the names on those first two lines of the Asdin, you're going to stick him on the third or fourth line, and it's understandable. But you know, and Lappy wasn't known for goal scoring, but
just 1 year.
When you can set up Tyler Arneson to score a goal, you're doing pretty good.
You've done something. You know? You got plenty of stick to aim at. That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be rough. Hockey's one of those things where the defense can kind of choose who they're going to cover. Yeah, you're mm-hmm. going to cover Lappy on that line.
Yeah.
You'll take your chances with the lumber guy.
Yeah, give it. Yeah. Watch that shot.
Exactly.
You know, okay, so the Flyers, you know, you say that they're struggling, and looking at the standings right now, they're 13-10-1.
Yeah.
They're over .500, yeah. which still puts them out of the playoffs, but that's partially because, you know, you got the Leafs and you've got the Hurricanes, and they're just, you know, handing out Christmas presents.
At that particular time, I think they lost 2 straight. They came in here and lost as well. And you know, the fans were very happy. But that's the, you know, you pick up a pronger in the offseason, everybody's expecting some big things. So I'm sure they'll turn around. They're too good. They got a lot of talent. And they have, you know.
Ray Emery's been playing well for them.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, he looked really shaky against the Avalanche that night. But mm-hmm. I don't think that's anything that the Flyer fans will have to get used to for an extended amount of time.
No, well, I mean, who's he got backing him up right now? He's got Niemanen or Newman?
No, who came in that night after him. It was...
I remember who's...
It's on your computer somewhere.
I know, it's just...
It was Brian Boucher.
That's right.
The Boosh.
The Boosh. The current... Doesn't he have the shutout streak
still
record?
I think so. That was many... Was that his...
that was in Phoenix.
Days. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, that was fun. But every time he comes in,
from Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Nice.
Kinda just like, pull these out of the computer. It's not, like,
not off the top of your head.
No.
Oh, you don't have to say that to everybody. Goodness.
Oh, come on. You know, if they can't hear me click it.
That's right. You know? every time he comes in the game, AC Hockey guy's on Twitter. He's a huge Flyer fan that he kind of follows everybody for fantasy reasons and everything like that. But every time Boucher comes in, all caps, Boosh. So you know Boucher is in. So, but that's my connection that helps me remember these types of things.
He's I don't know. I mean, I think some of it, I think, is also, you know, I mean, there's expectations on the Flyers. I mean, they've got looking over the lineup right now. I mean, they've got a really good lineup. Yeah. But I think I think part of it's kind of like that Ottawa Senators thing where they get hyped up so much by the media, especially like, was it Hockey News, I think, picked them to win the cup.
Yeah. And it's like that pronger deal was big for them.
Yeah.
And that really raised expectations. I know people were excited about that. And 13-10 and whatever isn't really what they expect in Philly every year.
And don't tell my podcasting partner Tom Luongo I said this, but you know, getting rid of Biron wasn't necessarily a bad thing either. I mean, Ray Emery, I think, is an upgrade over.
He's done okay.
Yeah, he's done fine.
That's a second chance right there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deserves one.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I always wonder about Ray Emery. I mean, does it? You know, you get stuck in Ottawa, which is, you know, maybe not the media capital of the world, but still, you're.
It's Canada hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, a few things go wrong, and people, I think in hockey, people tend to pick who, you know, who gets the second chance and who doesn't really fast,
yep.
you know, and off of a lot of things that people don't know. It was like you were saying about, you know, like things in the locker room. We don't know all Absolutely. The story. We don't know all the story with the Soleil, you know, but that's because we're not going to, we're not well, there.
We never
day.
Will. Yeah. We you never know, will.
Ray Emery may have gotten kind of a bad rap out yeah. of all this. And
it's true. Know. You never know. And that's why it's fun to watch, try and figure things out.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, he's, you know, if, you know, and, he's definitely a character, and he certainly will, you know, he's a fighter too.
Oh, so it's one of the things I always bring up for people that don't know hockey is when mm-hmm. he's taking on the big boys, and just, you got to respect that. That's really cool.
Oh yeah. yeah. And then, you know, you have, the polar opposite was, the Philadelphia Phantoms. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever, saw the goaltender that they had, Neil Little.
No, I never saw that.
I saw him play I think he only played two NHL games ever. I saw the second one and it did not go well for him. But there was a fight one night at one end of the ice, and he was on the other end. He skated all the way down and dogpiled.
There you go. Jumped on the pile. I'm sure I've seen video of that. Then that's great.
Hilarious. It's, that's Philadelphia Flyers hockey for you. So David Krejci, by the way, the replacement, quote unquote. I mean, how many games has he played?
He's been in most of them, but I mean, a lot of people complain. It's like, why do you dress a guy when you're going to play him 2.5-3 minutes? And I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a legitimate point.
You might as well have, you know, Scott Parker back. Mm-hmm. You might as well have Peter Worrell back, you know, if you're going to just do that.
Yeah, people are not happy with David Krejci. Yeah. He's taken some other penalties, too. I think he might have more minors than he has majors, which I don't know. It's
that's not where you want to be when you're only skating a few minutes.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he's only skating a few minutes, and it just doesn't seem like he's bringing too much to the team.
You go back in the fight videos, and everything I've seen, like when I remember there was a time when I was watching a lot of Derek Bougard fights, and it just seemed like Krejci got owned every single time, and you want to put him in the same division.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you have to appreciate a guy like Krejci wanting to kind of take on Bougard in a sense, but there's nobody's big enough to take on Bougard except his teammate, John Scott, I think is his name. Just a monster in his own right. But, you wonder, every team thinks they need a heavyweight. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of hold guys in check from staying off the Matt Duchesnes of the world and the Milan Hayduks of the world. But, you know, you always wonder, can Cody McLeod take care of all that himself? Can, Krejci hasn't had that many fighting majors. So it's just one of those hockey things where everybody thinks they need to have a heavyweight when they really don't.
Mm-hmm.
The game has changed a little bit, and you know, I don't know. It's a little frustrating to watch, and why dress him if you're only going to play him a couple minutes and he's not even fighting during those couple minutes anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It was kind of a question mark signing for everybody when they signed him anyways. It's like, David who? And I was the same. I mean, he's just not a guy you necessarily have to have in your lineup in order to be successful. And I think the younger guys can take care of that themselves.
Yeah, I think that was kind of part of the what was so hard to swallow in a way of watching Ian LaPerriere go was that, you know, was seeing Darcy Tucker, who wasn't exactly a, you know, a fan favorite, and Krejci gets signed, you know, and so Tucker stays around, Krejci gets signed, you're just wondering, well, so what was wrong with the guy that everybody loved?
Yeah.
You know, so
that guy, and I mean, between people were wondering, can Lappy and Cody McCormick, who left too, and Cody McLeod, can those three take the place of a heavyweight? And I think they could.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a heavyweight of any other team really wants to take on a middleweight anyways.
No.
But the really toe-to-toe heavyweight battles, nobody has room for that really anymore in the NHL. They're fun when they happen, but it's not a game. But it's not a, you know, every game you see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, even Ducks fans wonder when, you know, George Parros is going to score a goal.
The stash.
Yeah. I got a great picture on my blog right now of I was at the Leafs Ducks game where the Leafs won their first game of the year, and there's a picture of George Parros. He's looking right at my camera.
That's
like,
right.
Oh my god, he's going to kill me.
Fear the stash.
I totally fear the stash.
One of the best stashes in sports. Former Av too.
Yep.
Yep.
There was a speaking of YouTube fights, there was a fight between Scott Parker and George Parros it was when Parker was still with the Sharks, mm-hmm. and George Parros throws his glove at Scott Parker. Parker catches it and throws it into the audience. It's like, yeah,
I love kind of the gamesmanship that goes on there, because mm-hmm. Cody McLeod got into a fight with I can't remember the Tampa Bay's guy's name last night, but you can see at the end the Tampa Bay guy kind of leans over to him and says, good fight. Yeah. And there's just that gentleman side of what looks so barbaric that I love about hockey. Between that, Matt Duchene going up to the official, I believe it was after the second period, making sure that Paul Stastny was credited with an assist on his second goal.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, really makes you respect and love the game a little bit more.
Yeah, it was Knopka
who got in the fight.
And then he got the misconduct later for yapping at the bench. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what that guy does. Yeah. He had just a ton of majors so far. And, you know, you'd think Coach, he could take care of that, but McLeod did anyways. But it's just so cool to watch that. And if you watch the game long enough, you'll see plenty of that. And that's why we love it.
Yeah. Now, I know you as an Avs fan, obviously, Avs Hockey Podcast. You know,
.com
now. do you follow the rest of the league? I mean, obviously you're an Avs fan first, but do you follow the league around? You don't talk about it much, obviously.
I think you have to really appreciate the game.
Yeah.
I try and view myself as a fan of the game first, and then I'm just a really passionate Avalanche fan. If you don't love the game and you're just going to support your team only when they're doing well, there's way too many of those people. And just by the way my whole hockey experience started, I mean, that's just how it went. Mm-hmm. When I was really young, my dad sang the national anthem at Colorado Rockies game back in the old NHL. The Rangers were in town. I got to meet Herb Brooks. Tom Youngins, one of the defensemen, gives me his stick, and that's what really got me going. Wow. So I'm definitely a fan of the game. We've been following minor league hockey here for many years too. Yeah. If you're only following your team, I think you're kind of missing out on too much.
Yeah.
I don't make it a point to watch games every single night. I just don't have the time to do that, at least right now. But it's just a great sport and definitely worth following if that's what you have time for. And
well, let me ask you your opinion about a few things around the league that you don't really get a chance to talk about too much on your own podcast. Cool. Since you talk mostly about the Avs. Headshots. Do you think they're going to legislate out headshots anytime soon? Where do you stand on it?
It's so tough to do that. And I think the game has changed so much in the last few years, in the last probably decade, two decades, where it's so fast. I just don't know how you can do that. The NFL is trying to do that, and mm-hmm. everybody views it as a joke. I think it's just kind of a personal thing, and it's just I don't think it's people really head hunting, but it's the speed and the size of the guys that has changed so much. I think it's going to take something really, really big, like somebody like getting hurt really, really badly, or somebody actually passing away on the ice for them to really start to legislate it. Otherwise, they view it as playing with the hockey culture, and they never want to touch that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's never good to see a guy totally unconscious, and it's some of the boarding penalties as well that are the same thing. You never like to see a guy hurt, but sometimes it's just an unfortunate part of the game when you've got speed and quickness and just strength.
Mm-hmm. I'm limping off my own little hockey injury.
There
right
you
now.
Go, and that was
little tailbone.
Was that self inflicted, or was that somebody hitting you? Or
I guess it was self inflicted because I did fall over on my own, but I fell over trying to make a play.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
It's not like I was standing there and then all of a sudden, you know, like a robot chicken kind of moment and just fell apart on my own.
So we're covering the head to tail shots is what we're doing there. I just don't know how they'd be able to enforce it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always based on what happens to the person who it was inflicted upon. If Darcy Tucker gets boarded by Tuomo Ruutu and he gets up, mm-hmm. might be a two-minute minor. But since he's down on the ice, since they take him off on a backboard and a stretcher, it's an automatic five-minute major, and then he's suspended for three games. So it's more of like a result of the play rather than the intention that goes into the play.
Okay.
That's why I think they're going to have to wait until somebody gets hurt really, really badly, which is really unfortunate. But I just don't know how you measure the intention of a guy and how you punish him based on that rather than going. It's kind of like attempted murder and first degree murder. You know, it all depends on if somebody gets killed or whatever. But it's just it's an unfortunate part of the game, and it's tough to watch those guys after they get hurt. And some of them, you know, it takes them a long, long time to come back and be healthy enough to play the game effectively, if at all.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can punish guys based on that. So. You know, we'll see what the league does with it. And I know it's a hot topic, but I just don't know how you police it.
See, my thought is that, you know, I've always heard that it's kind of a can of worms. You know, you open a whole can of worms with it, and eventually I think that they're going to have to. I think either the NHL is going to have to do it, or insurance companies, for instance, are going to do it. I mean, somebody's going to make them do something, you would think. So
it's a part of the game, unfortunately, now, and it's just the result of a new – you know, a new brand of athlete that we're getting in the next, you know, last couple of decades, bigger, faster, stronger.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, or I'm sorry, Calgary Flames are in the playoffs right now. If the season start, if the playoffs start today, Flames are in. Ottawa Senators would be in, but just they're kind of squeaking in. And then the other four Canadian teams are out right now of the playoffs. And, you know, a couple surprises in there. I mean, Edmonton Oilers, everybody figured that they'd be, you know, turning it around.
Better, and then they lose Hemsky, which is, he's out for the year with the shoulder, which I was kind of sad
for
about.
For the year?
For the year.
Wow.
I was kind of sad to see that. I love watching Hemsky.
Yeah.
Not play well against the Avalanche, but he's pretty out there.
Mm-hmm.
So keep going.
Didn't mean to interrupt. No, no. It's and the, so, you know, but everybody wants to look towards Canada for, you know, supporting the league in a way. I mean, there's and you know, the Canadian dollar's going up, and Canadian teams aren't doing so well.
Yeah, and the NHL's really pushing the Sidney Crosbys of the world and the Alex Ovechkins and. Yeah, that's true. It's definitely a change, kind of a changing of the guard type thing. And the Maple Leafs are feeling the brunt of that too. Their fans are going crazy. And
six wins.
That's
six wins.
Something they're not used to up there.
Yeah.
But people still go, so that's good.
Yeah, it's just high dollar.
Absolutely.
But on the flip side, look at the Phoenix Coyotes. I mean, they were supposed to basically be 14th in the league and or in the conference, and they're doing great. They're in seventh right now, but you know they're still a pretty solid team right now.
Yeah, and that's I good for them. You know, everybody expect kind of like the Avalanche, they expect them to be so bad, but I kind of go back to, if you just look at everything in general, that's why you play the games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see them do so well in such a tough time for them as far as the ownership issues and I think maybe they find a little comfort out there on the ice, and it's their time to get away from all the junk that's going on. You know, off the ice and everything like that, and it's been neat to watch them. You have to root for the underdog. I'm one of those people, and you know, my dad says it all the time. It's time for somebody else to win, and I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but seeing Detroit struggle a little bit, you know, as an Avalanche fan, it is what it is. But it's good to kind of get that well-rounded experience, you know, kind of that we're getting used to, and to really bring everybody kind of back down to earth. And we'll see
last, where 12, there. 14 seasons that the Red Wings have been, you know, very good hockey players, hockey team. Before that, the memories get pretty short because they were pretty bad for a long time.
Yeah. And it's, just based on my age, I'm just starting to see that to where, you know, you see some teams that have been so good for so long and they're starting to struggle. And it's just interesting to see everybody goes through it, just kind of how they fight through it and kind of come out on the other end and see how well things go.
Are there any real surprises for you in with teams right now? Any, tops, bottoms, who's doing well, who's not? I mean,
obviously the Avalanche and just like you said, the Coyotes. I mean, otherwise, I really don't get caught up in the hype of the predictions because some of them are made because the press wants to be right.
Right.
And that's kind of what they feed on. Others are made because they want to surprise people and they want people to talk about their predictions and everything like that. So the Devils is one, they just keep going, you know, and, you know, my best friend is a great, he's a huge Marty Brodeur fan. And I
don't want to meet your best friend.
They just reinvent themselves every year in a sense. And they just play good hockey. And I'm surprised they're doing so well as far as Brodeur's age and things like that. And time will tell as we get through the season. But that's one team I'm like, they just keep winning. And they change coaches, they change systems, and they still keep winning.
Yeah.
And nobody comes to watch them in New Jersey. And, you know, that is what it is. But the Devils is one that I've kind of been following just for kind of obvious reasons. But
yeah.
It's interesting to watch that.
I want to kind of have my Stephen Colbert moment with you here.
Go for it.
Gary Bettman, great commissioner or greatest commissioner ever?
The guy gets booed every year when he rings the Stanley Cup.
Isn't it great?
It's just so interesting. I wonder if he actually hears that, you know, and whether he cares. But
I don't know if he cares. I was just seeing something. He was talking about basically the health of the teams around the league and, the ones that are not doing so well. I was from Reuters. I saw it on Kukla's Corner. Basically the buzz quote is, I believe all 30 markets can sustain their clubs. And, he's basically, he's always been very rah-rah, but
well, this doesn't seem he's also in that part of the business world where he can't say anything different.
Mm-hmm.
If he says something different, everybody will eat him alive.
Yeah.
But they're eating him alive anyways. So sometimes that realistic view, and I think it's the marketing of the NHL that's kind of, I don't know. There's only so much, you know, Sidney Crosby that everybody can take.
Yeah.
And there are other players that I think are worth pushing. I don't know. It's just kind of strange who they choose to focus on and why they choose to focus on those guys. And I don't think you necessarily need one guy carrying the league on his shoulders. I mean, it's the league altogether, and maybe that's what he's trying to say. But I don't know. Sometimes you hear stuff like that, and you just raise your eyebrows instinctively and go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's just not realistic.
Maybe it's just because I do follow hockey so much, but I couldn't name you who the NBA commissioner is. I couldn't name you who the NFL commissioner is. And the only reason I know the Major League Baseball commissioner is because of steroids. Yeah. And if it weren't for that, I probably wouldn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
But it seems like Gary Bettman is the guy that everybody loves to hate, even if – you know, no matter what. I mean, people, even non-hockey fans, know who Gary Bettman is, That's true. Not for good reasons.
I don't know why that is. It's just interesting how that all works out. And not a whole lot of people follow and understand hockey as it is. It's just because of the nature of the sport, and because football is, you know, football is definitely America, and baseball is, you know, it's America's pastime. So somebody kind of has to take a back seat, and it seems like the NHL does that more often than not.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I was at Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in New Jersey, 2003. It was Ducks versus Devils, and it was deafening. The booing.
Yeah. People do not like what he's done and what he says, and he but he's still got a job, so he's obviously doing something right.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess
otherwise
so.
They get rid of him really quick.
He owns a team, essentially.
There you go. He does now.
I mean, obviously, you can't say, you know, bad things about your league when you own a team and you're trying to sell the damn thing. But the fact that you own it, that the league owns a team and they're trying to sell the damn thing,
it's a little bit of a conflict of interest.
Yeah. When has that ever worked out for any team where it's been like, hey, we own the league owns a team and that's a good thing. That's not.
Don't try and sell us that. I don't think anybody will buy that.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Right now, the Detroit Red Wings sitting in ninth, Todd Bertuzzi, Brad May on the team. The team that you and I love to hate.
Yeah.
It's quite a new look for them. I mean, they're obviously
it's different.
They're decimated by injuries.
Absolutely.
But even outside of that,
I don't get satisfaction by seeing that in the standings. I don't necessarily hate them. I hate them for what they've done.
Oh, I totally get
go
that.
For
I'd
it.
Love it.
Go for it. I'll give the more PC Gary Bettman answer, okay. But I mean, I'm
the more amicable one, apparently.
There
but still.
You go. No more than one person has said that. But I like the well-rounded kind of approach to that. They've been kicking everybody's tail for a long time in the league. And, you know, everybody needs to go through this, you know, whether it's a decade, 15 years, or every other year. But I don't get satisfaction by seeing that, and people bring it up a lot. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they get healthier, they'll be right there, just like they always are. I'm not saying they're going to win the conference or anything. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. You know, but when you have when you build your team around a fairly solid goaltender like Chris Osgood, who totally surprises me when he's top 10 in the NHL all time in wins. I saw that stat. I was like, what? And he is. He's top 10. And Nicklas Lidström, good things have got to happen. Mm-hmm. Especially when you have a top 10 all-time wins goaltender and then an all-world Hall of Fame lock in Nicklas Lidström, and you know they'll be back. I'm not going to start celebrating quite yet, but it is kind of satisfying to see them struggle just a little bit, just like the rest of everybody else has.
I agree. Blue Jackets, Blues, you think either one of them's going to dig themselves kind of out of the hole that they're in right now?
Well, the Blue Jackets lost Klesla for, I think it was 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Last night he was injured, so that's going to hurt. And then I think the buzz is that they need to go get another defenseman. The Blues, that kind of surprises me, and maybe that's another one of my surprises as far as they look like that young team that were really going to come on and just haven't done that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's all goaltending. It's all your superstars, and I don't see him doing that, but we'll have to kind of wait and see.
Maybe the Blue Jackets show picked up Tom Pricing off of waivers.
Tom Pricing. Ruslan Soleil is available at Blue Jackets. You can come get him whenever
you
want.
Yeah, if you want to come get him, if you can play.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the question.
Yeah.
Jay, I think that's a podcast.
I think we did it again. Yeah.
So first off, let's talk about your new site.
New site. Like we mentioned, abshockeypodcast.com.
Yep.
You're going to love everything you see. James had a huge part in that. And you know, give me some feedback when you see it. Let me know what you think. And always willing to hear from everybody out there. I mean, you know, it's always, you know, let me know what you think.
We'll get the iTunes feed working for you.
Yeah, that's
make it easy to download.
That's the big one. And I think you're going to enjoy what you see and what you hear, too. So you can also find me on Twitter, Abs Hockey Podcast, and on Facebook as well. If you're on Facebook, just look for the Abs Hockey Podcast, become a fan. I'll keep you up to date if you're an Avalanche fan, and we can kind of go from there.
And you've got links to all that on the new site and the old site.
You'll see links everywhere. Whatever you need, it's all there. And it's not necessarily your home for everything Avalanche, but most everything Avalanche. We'll put it that way.
Most, so everything Avalanche that you care about.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Which is good. Which is pretty good because you're pretty. You're almost the seventh man. You're almost the super fan.
I can't cover. I'm almost a close second. It was a trying time, but. You know, it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting more hockey fans and just hearing from you and just, you know, I'll see you out on the internet somewhere.
Right on. I'm, of course, at Rink Podcast, www.rinkpodcast.com. You can find it there. And, yeah.
That's about it. Thanks again for having me on.
Cool. Thank you,
it's
man.
Always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon.
We will.
All right.
That does it for this joint production of The Rink and the Avs Hockey Podcast. You can always find The Rink at www.rinkpodcast.com, and you can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, his new site. You can email The Rink at rink@rinkpodcast.com, and you can always call The Rink at 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. Thanks a lot for listening to The Rink and the Avs Hockey Podcast.